This is pretty cool, though. So I realized that last week we actually didn't do a formal introduction. I said, like, I said the name of the podcast, but I'm like, I didn't introduce us. And
yeah,
I think what I'm actually going to ask...
It's been weeks. We don't know what's going on.
We don't know who we are.
No.
So what I'm actually going to start doing now, because I feel like we've reached this point. I feel like it's a very special point in the history of this podcast. We have officially... This is episode 25.
Is this 25?
This is episode... Yeah, this is 25. 25 cool. of the First Person Podcast Simulator.
Wow.
Dude, you're a quarter
yeah, man. We
I
are...
Good.
We're a quarter of the way to 100...
Fame.
Actually, our last episode was 25.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
Check your own website, man.
It's canceled, then.
Everything's over.
The podcast is over and done with.
Podcast over.
Anyways, though, let me try and salvage that introduction. Oh. So, hello, and welcome to First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining me across the internet is...
Mike, as always.
And joining me in my bedroom is my buddy...
David.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, a tiny bit of history. We actually tried recording with David a bit ago. It was... Yeah, it was like right after the, what was it? Yeah, it was right after filming the Duct
Tape
Dave
documentary. Right, yeah, right after we filmed my documentary. We set up one of the cameras with a shotgun mic and just like put it in the middle of all of us. And we're like, yeah, that'll work fine. And then while I was editing my documentary, I was taking a break from that. And then I threw up that footage. And that was painful because you don't usually throw up the footage. but so I was like, yeah, let's see how this goes. And then the audio was completely screwed up after like a minute. So...
Yeah, and I have, like, I'm like an audio dude. Like, that's what I used to study, and I studied that for a year, and I have no idea why that could have happened. Like, it fucking died.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a shame, too, because that was a really fun podcast.
Yeah, I don't really remember it, but yeah.
It's my fault, this one's gonna break, too.
Yeah.
Totally. It's, no, you know what it was? It was David's ghost room, but now that he's where you are, it's fine.
I mean, I do get headaches in your room a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. There are ghosts in there somewhere.
Are you sure that you didn't, when you were building it, you didn't? Okay, all right. Let's not get into that.
Secrets are being revealed.
It's the Stephen King novel that is your life.
Totally.
Anyway, so what have you been up to, dude, in the last week?
Yeah, what have I been up to? Since you saw me last...
Which I didn't, actually.
Right. Since we spoke last.
Yes.
Last We Spoke, which is a track on the Indie Game the Movie soundtrack.
That only you own on vinyl.
It's a good one. It's one of my favorites.
Stop rubbing that in. Go away.
Oh, did I mention how beautiful it is?
Shut up! Your record player's broken!
No, it just runs slow. It always has. It's from the 70s. Don't make fun of it.
That's why.
What's a record player?
What?
You're not talking loud enough, I don't think.
You're so quiet.
Yeah.
I am sorry.
Cool. What was I talking about? Oh, so since last we spoke, I got a haircut. I guess that's something.
I did see that. It's pretty short.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's real short. Except on top. Because I was like, I don't know, I got sick of hair.
Dude, that totally happened to me a few years ago. It's so much easier.
Yeah, and it's because of the wind, too. Like... why even comb it in the morning, you know? I go outside and it's completely destroyed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, terrible. But now your head's going to be cold in the winter.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it is noticeably colder now. Also, we're coming up on my birthday, so last weekend we did birthday things in that, like, we ordered all of the things that I have asked for.
Well, nice! So it's the same as Christmas, where you already know what most of your gifts are going to be.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm actually
spoiling
wearing one of my gifts right now.
Oh, right, yeah, you got some clothes or stuff, didn't you?
Yeah. Nice little cardigan. Good stuff.
I know about your real life through Instagram, apparently.
Yes.
That's creepy.
That's where you get the most real picture of who I am, is Instagram.
This is who I am, man. This is the real me.
Through square photos, bad filters.
Yes.
That's my life. Today was less good. do I sound different? Because I think I sound kind of sick now.
Did you get a voice cut, too, with your haircut?
Yeah, just one of them.
You don't sound crazy. I'm pretty sure what's going on is because I'm sick and because you're sick, like, just a little bit, that we just, like, sound like our normal voices.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
We have sick ear.
That's not far from a thing that can kind of happen.
It's science. Just trust us.
Eustachian tubes, man. I also learned about ear anatomy when I was studying audio.
There you go. See, it was not for nothing.
And those they don't get clogged up, but they get swollen and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, your whole, like, nose, throat, and ear area is all connected, because that's perfect design. That's fine.
Absolutely.
Those shouldn't be separated at all.
No.
Yeah, but there is such a thing. I've heard people use the term, like, yeah, my ears are feeling a little bit congested. Like, it's not, it's not really mucus in there, I don't think, but I think it's, like, you know, you know, whenever you like pop your like ears or something like that, and you feel like that relief of pressure.
Yeah,
that's due to like a bit called like Eustachian tubes, and that can get like all swollen and fucked up when you're all sick and stuff. So
that's why it's like super frustrating, because like nothing's actually in there for you to get out. So
right, yeah,
it makes it harder to get relief.
Kind of got a deal. Yeah, it's no good. It's no good, man. I'm like a day or two away from being done with that kind of sickness. I had a lot of that stuff going on this weekend. I stayed in and I worked on a lot of dumb, shitty homework.
Yeah.
Some of it not dumb and shitty, though. My Choose Your Own Adventure game is kind of almost done.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. It's called Buddy Quest.
Nice.
Yeah. And I still got to write out a lot of the dialogue for it and stuff, but I already know what it's going to be, so
cool.
Feeling good about it. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Good stuff.
David, what did you do with your weekend? What have you been doing, man?
My weekend? I have been not starving. Non-stop all weekend.
How much have you been not starving? Pause not starve to talk about how much you've been not starving.
But what if I starve, dude?
Can't take that chance.
I have been not starving so much that my homework has been Don't Starve. I am actually modeling Wilson from Don't Starve in 3D.
Sweet.
And that's in, what, Maya?
And that's in Maya, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And it's funny, last week Mike was talking about how he had actually started Don't Starve. And
yeah.
Through David, I learned that there's actually an ending to Don't Starve.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I never really realized that.
I wasn't sure if I was aware of that.
Yeah, you gotta, like, find the survival portal, or the adventure portal, in survivor mode. And then from there, you have to, like, beat four different or five different worlds or something.
Yeah, from how he explained it, they're, like, really, really extreme, like, survival worlds. Like, one where it's just, like, raining all the time and there's always lightning, and one where it's always snowing and shit like that.
Huh.
And so you pretty much have to go on a big, like, awful scavenger hunt and find these objects, and, like, that way you get to, like, the portal to the next adventure thing. It's super hard. Like,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it rains frogs, and then they eat you. And
okay.
That's no good.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Not good at all. Not what we prefer.
Raining frogs.
So yeah, that's actually a decent segue. Dude, what have you been playing?
I've been playing not a whole lot, but let's see. I recently got back to PID, which I don't know if you know about.
I know the name of it. I literally know nothing about that game, though.
It's a game I got either a few birthdays ago or a few Christmases ago. On Steam, and I just really loved the art style and like the music and just the feeling of it, and I keep kind of like falling away from it and going back to it, because a lot of the parts are like, I don't know, they're just at times it feels impossible because the game can be like really cheap, like at some parts it's like there is no way to do this.
What's the premise of it? What's the sort of end goal?
You are, you're this little boy who is stranded on this planet, and you're trying to get off. It's a side-scrolling platformer.
Okay.
And your main mechanic is that you can shoot these, these little pellets that sort of fall in an arc according to physics, and they create this beam, coming out of whatever surface it hits, that sort of like an anti-gravity beam. It propels you in whatever direction it's pointing.
Okay.
So it's cool. It's a really good game, for the most part, but sometimes it just makes me really angry.
That's not a sign of a good game.
I don't know. Yeah. That's Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that only makes, like, Nick angry and people who... Well, okay. No, that makes plenty of people angry.
It makes a lot of people angry.
That game has made me plenty angry.
It made me pretty angry.
It's a fair angry, or at least that's how I see it.
At times, it can seem... PID can seem, like, kind of an unfair kind of angry. But, I don't know, then I just think about, like... It creates this really good atmosphere. I just love the feeling of playing the game. And so I have to go back to it.
No, that's good. I've been finding more and more, I've been appreciating that as it's been presented. Because that's, like, that's something that's, like, super elusive in games, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, I've been playing, not to cut you off, we'll get back, you have other stuff on what you've been playing, but I've been touching, that's weird, I've been touching Imaginarium.
Oh,
I've been feeling it up. no, I spent a couple hours playing
however you want to say it.
Machinarium.
Sure.
And
that's a great game.
No, that world's got, like, a super, it's so full of character, and without like speaking a single word of dialogue, that, like, the characters are able to communicate so much. And
I know,
I realized that the reason that that game works as well as it does is because it realizes that in itself it is an adventure game, and it helps, like, cover up that flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, if you get stuck, it's got this cool thing where you can, there's, like, a soft hint thing where you can go and click this, like, light bulb, and it'll be like, oh, you kind of have to do this to, like, progress. But then if you really, like, are working out for a while and you, like, are just stuck, you go into that that book. Have you ever used, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you go into that book
all the time. I always forget about this, but it's, like, the best thing.
No, it really is, and it totally, it covers up everything that's, like, not good about adventure games, because sometimes you're just sitting there, it's like, I'm not thinking the way that the designer wanted me to think about this.
Yeah.
And that happens so frequently. But the way it works is that you click on this book, and then you do, like, this small, like, side-scrolling, like, shooting minigame that lasts for probably, like, 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then the book opens, and it shows you, like, illustrations of what you're supposed to do. Again, not using a single bit of, like, written word or anything.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and it helps, like, outline what you are supposed to do in that particular area, which is great.
It totally removes the need for you to, like, back out of the game and go to, like, a walkthrough or forums. And that's
right.
Great.
Yeah.
But you're still working for the solution, because you have to work for that bit of information that you're missing.
Yeah, it's done in a way that doesn't really feel cheap at all, and doesn't feel like you're just copping out and looking for the answer. It's super awesome, and I had, like, a very brief conversation on Twitter from one of the dudes from, like, Yacht Club Games about how much we loved Machinarium.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that was really cool. But yeah, I'm absolutely in love with that world, and I've had a couple of really, like, satisfying moments when puzzles just came together. And I'm not even sure how far I am in it. But it's good.
Yeah, I don't
like it a lot.
I think you will. Yeah, it's pretty apparent when you're about to be finished, because there's, like, a story that carries through.
Right, right.
Like, even though there's no dialogue, it's great.
No, right, and I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, Jesus, like, this game, like, literally anyone in the world who plays games can play this game.
Yeah, totally.
And that's pretty nuts.
I didn't,
like,
think
that,
about that.
Yeah, and that, like, cuts down on, like, localization costs and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you do have to do localization, it's, like, for your menu stuff, and that's, like, nothing.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's pretty cool. But, yeah, it's, like, literally all I've been playing. Again, I spent the whole weekend being sick and working on dumb art projects.
Yeah.
First class. You've been playing other stuff, though.
I have. Speaking of being sick, I stayed in on Friday. I didn't go to class because I had knife throat syndrome.
Knife? Yeah. For a second, I thought you said I had, like, nightmares. Or I thought you said knife.
Oh, God.
Knife.
Well,
very
kind
severe
of,
nightmares.
I slept a lot on Friday. I did a lot of sleeping on Friday because I didn't feel good. And then they were just really, really weird. One of them almost became a musical. I don't want to talk about it. So I stayed in, and I eventually just got on my computer, and I was scrolling through my list of games, and I stumbled upon Knights of the Old Republic. And I was like, hey, I'm home, sick, this is, like, I don't know, this is a thing I want to do right now. It sounds like a great opportunity. So I played a little bit of that, and it was great.
Cool.
Because KOTOR.
Yeah.
I always
love KOTOR. I've played just a tiny bit of that, and if you enjoy, like, that, it, like, Bioshock, or, sorry, not Bioshock, Jesus, Mass Effect is laid out in a really similar kind of style.
Yeah.
So, how much of that did you play?
Not too much. Just, I don't know, maybe half hour, an hour. I'm still on, Terrace, because I forgot. I forgot. I clicked into it, and I was like, yeah, I'll just check out my character, because this will be great to reminisce. And I forgot that when I moved the game onto my new computer, I didn't migrate the save files. So I'm at the save file that I started when I first migrated it, like, a year ago, exactly. So,
how much progress had you made? Or how much progress did you lose, I guess?
Well, I mean, all of it, because I'm on the first planet, so...
Well, how many hours had you accumulated, though? How far along were you in the game?
Oh. Well, I had beaten it. Oh, no, wait. No, wait. No, KOTOR 1. I still haven't beaten KOTOR 1.
Oh, okay.
I always forget that. I've beaten KOTOR 2, but not KOTOR 1.
Mm.
So I was at the final battle in KOTOR 1.
Well, shit.
Yeah. Those files are somewhere. I can bring those over. It's not a huge loss.
Okay, sure. At least they're not 100% lost.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Really, though, I should have bought it on Steam, so it would have just been synced.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I've been playing is Golden Sun, Dark Dawn on the DS, because I still haven't beaten that, and I bought that, like, 3 years ago, so...
Wasn't there a Golden Sun game for the Game Boy Advance where you had to go outside and play in the sun to recharge your points or something?
That was a game called Boktai from Konami, and I loved that.
That was Hideo Kojima's, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Back when he made things that weren't just Metal Gear.
Right. There were three of those. Only two of them were localized in America, which I was really upset about. But they were both really great.
Only two?
Yeah. The last one never came because not a lot of people liked him, I guess. Not enough people. But they were so great. I love them.
I mean, it is kind of an Easternish idea. I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like apparatuses always go over, like, super, super well over here.
Yeah, I know.
No hard and fast rule for the West.
It was just a little bump on the top of the cartridge, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like...
But then you had to go outside.
But you're still playing a video game. Just go the fuck outside.
But then you can't play in the winter.
Half the time... No, that was kind of a problem at times. But half the time, I didn't even go outside. I just, like, really wedged myself against a window to get the sun.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I would do that kind of shit all the time where, like, when my parents were like, you have to go outside, like, I totally sneak my Game Boy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the glare from the sun would, like, ruin your experience.
Yeah, that's why you had to buy an SP.
Well, if you got under the porch just right.
You just put your head in your shirt like a turtle.
I don't know how you guys played games back in the day.
Or staying up late with your Game Boy Color with a flashlight in your mouth because it didn't have a backlit screen.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck. Good times.
I never had a Game Boy Color. I had to borrow my friends.
I think I've had a lot of different types of Game Boys. I did have the SP, and that thing is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways, though. Okay. Let's move on to a couple of news things. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm super excited about, and Dave is excited about too, I think, is that recently the Amnesia Fortnite games have been designed. Did we mention Amnesia Fortnite at all last time, last week?
Last week, I don't think we did, no.
That's nuts, because I was super excited about that. I think that was just one thing that I looked over and like, what, we didn't talk about that? That is crazy. So to briefly explain what that is, Amnesia Fortnite is a thing that Double Fine does, the studio Double Fine, where they basically take 2 weeks off from whatever big main game that they're doing, and they say, hey, everyone who works here, pitch game ideas to us, and we're going to let the internet decide on what games we make for 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
And it's this whole cool thing now, because, like, they're hooked up with the Humble Bundle guys, so they, like, donate through, like, people donate through Humble Bundle for, like, all the builds of these games. Two-player productions is making daily videos, like, documenting their work.
Are they going to have, like, a final documentary about it or anything?
I don't know. I mean, there might be... I don't know. I know that they've done Amnesia Fortnites before. This is the first year I'd heard of it, though.
Yeah, me too.
I've not heard of it before.
Yeah, but the extra special, cool, sweet, amazing thing about this one is that they are actually... giving Pendleton Ward a shot to, like, be like a project lead and making his own game.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Pendleton Ward is the guy who created Adventure Time and Bravest Warriors.
Yes.
For those who don't know.
which most people should know, which is strange, actually, because I say Pendleton Ward, and I just expect a lot of people to just know his name, but...
I know.
That's not always the case, man.
I know.
Anyways, though, for a little bit, though, there were, like, all these game pitch ideas. I think there were, like, 28 game ideas that were... Yeah, there were a lot of different pitch ideas. And Penn Ward came up with four, all of which are hilarious. I think you can still find the videos for all those individual pitches, but it's just him, like, hanging out, being himself, hilariously talking about his, like, half-boiled game ideas, which is super funny in itself. But the four games that have been chosen, the one from Penn Ward is called Little Pink Best Buds, which is a game that's going to – it's like a first-person narrative kind of game. Have you ever heard of the game Facade at all, or seen a game where like you type words to like these two people in this like apartment and they respond to like the text that you type up?
No.
You never? Okay. Well, it was, that's a game.
Really cool.
It's a really old game. Came out a couple of years ago, but it uses like text, like recognition stuff to sort of, you know, craft this experience. And it's basically that, but in like this crazy, funny world with like these little pink dudes who all want to be your friend. And he said that the story is actually going to get like really dark and mysterious and cool. So that's sweet. The next one is a game called Mnemonic that I don't want to talk about a lot because unfortunately I don't like the dude who's leading the team. He's like, he's an art dude who isn't really sure what he's doing. And that's really unfair of me to say because I'm sure he's got good ideas. But
you don't know what you're doing. Shut up, Zach.
Well, yeah, pretty much. But he, anyways, moving on. That's going to be some, like, point-and-click adventure game, I think, where, like, you're able to rearrange your thoughts and memories,
like
or
memories or something.
You, like, rearrange your memories so that they make chronological sense or that you can, like, solve puzzles using memories. I don't know. He hardly knows what the game's about.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Then we move on to a game called Steed.
Yes.
basically, if you imagine... I guess like a fantasy world with like orcs and goblins and like wizards and shit. But, you play the horse, you like, you are the ride for the adventurers and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
It's pretty much like a Crazy Taxi where you're the horse.
Yeah. Medieval Crazy Taxi.
Medieval Crazy Taxi.
Yep. That's and great. Then the very last one is called, Dear Leader, which is sort of, it's, I'm not really sure what kind of game to call it. It's kind of like you are... I think the pitch for it was you're the leader of a country right after, like, a revolution happens in it. So you're making, like, a lot of these decisions to, like, make propaganda posters and, like, appease your ministers and stuff. I'm not sure. It's going to be, like, this interesting political game that has a little bit of humor but also is a little bit dark. Okay. Sort of in the vein of, like, Papers, Please, but I think not nearly as oppressive.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, and again, all of these pitch ideas, they're all of them are up online, and there are, like, long, like, 20, 30-minute, like, videos for every single day that they are working on these games. They're talking with all, about, like, a bunch of different people, not just the project leads, but other people who are helping work on these projects, and, as a new programmer, it's super cool to watch this shit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, I'm super excited about that.
I'd just like to point out Steed, backwards, is Deets.
All right.
Coincidence? Yes. Yes, it is.
Deet, like the shit that they say isn't in Bug Spray?
Yeah, that kind of Deets. Multiple deet.
Oh, like deets, like details. Oh, young people like lingo and stuff.
Oh, young people stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You're like a year older than me.
Gotta
but,
be like hip with them.
Hey, not for long.
It's true.
Because your birthday is in March. March.
Yeah, it is.
It's got more than one digit.
Oh,
it's
boy. Here we go.
March of more than one digit.
It's also a holiday that'll help you out.
It's St. Patrick's Day. That's why his middle name is cool.
That's right.
Your middle name's Patrick?
Wow. Okay.
All right.
You guys, best friends right there.
All right. Yeah, yeah, it is.
I don't know why I know that.
Why did you...
You probably know that because of Marissa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I knew what day St. Patrick's Day fell on, I could tell you what your birthday was. All right, moving on.
Oh my God.
Let's
see.
It's
the 7th.
It's the day that the Chicago turns green.
The 7th?
17th.
Oh, okay. All right. That gives me much more time to get you a birthday gift.
7 is 2 digits, right?
Yup. There's the set and the then.
Shut up. This is stupid. I was going to talk about Twitch Plays Pokemon, but honestly, I got a little bit burnt out on it.
Oh, no.
I mean, just a little bit. It's like, it's cool to, like, catch up with it every once in a while.
I think it's still got its cachet. If I had another monitor or, like, a flat screen, I would probably dedicate that to it.
So, at my school, there is, like, big monitors just, like, in the halls, and on the 5th floor, which is, like, the gaming floor, they had Twitch Plays Pokemon streaming, and
nice.
I was watching it and missed my elevator. So.
Wow.
Actually, now that I think about it, I've got a really funny story about that, too. So, I go to, there's a Caribou Coffee on the way to the, like, interactive media department building, basically the game, like, building that I go to. So I was feeling all gross and full of mucus all up in my face area. So I went to go get some hot tea to loosen that shit up and get it out. So I stop in to this Caribou, and right by like the little station where you can add like honey and like skim milk and like gross natural sugar to your drink. They got this big chalkboard, and I think they change the question on it like once a week. They just let people like, you know, answer the question with chalk on the board. And, I think it was, like, is something like who most inspires you or something like that, or if you had like one question or one thing to tell somebody, what would it be? And in the bottom right corner it was like, praise the Helix fossil. And if yes. I was a person who went on Reddit, I would have taken a picture of that and gotten karma or whatever the fuck those idiots like get on there. But I didn't do that. I should have taken a picture of it though. I'll have to try and remember to do that tomorrow.
You will.
It was like, man, that's Twitch awesome. Plays Twitch Plays Pokemon is like leaking into so many facets of my life right now.
I know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So good.
But yeah. Where are they right now? I don't even know. Could you look that up?
I could quickly check.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Can we just have a podcast in the future where I yell at you like I'm J. Jonah Jameson and you're Peter Parker?
Oh, that's not this podcast?
I can't, you know what? I can't do a good J. Jonah Jameson impression, which I'm really upset about. Maybe I should work.
Pictures
maybe
of Spider-Man.
Parker!
That was more Goblin than
damn
Jameson.
It. Shit. Well, maybe my Willem Dafoe impression's spot on then.
Yeah.
You spat on my computer. Now I'm going to starve.
That wouldn't happen if you weren't playing video games during the podcast.
What you're doing, David.
It's about video games, man.
He's got to get in the mood.
I don't see why you guys aren't playing video games.
I mean, that's
we're the weird ones.
I mean, we can hardly talk as it is. So
they're at the part where they play a Jim Beam commercial.
I hate that part. That is such a... I never got that part as a kid.
Yeah, it's super effective. Jim Beam used alcoholism. It's super effective. You hurt yourself in your confusion.
You know, I've got a Jim Beam... like a container, right? It's a it's like a little like porcelain thing.
It's a box and ass.
It's to describe it in the best way, it's a donkey, and
okay.
It's in a wife beater and boxing shorts.
Wow.
And it's got boxing gloves and a top hat on, and it's smiling right at you. You can take the top hat off and fill him with liquor.
Okay. That's great.
I have that.
This is good. This is good to know.
Anyways, where are they?
I have no idea because I've never played Pokemon Red. I was the wrong person to look this up.
My computer's too far away.
Oh, no, there's
here.
Some stairs and some beds, and he's walking into a wall.
No kidding.
That's, like, the whole game.
Here, why don't you... I'll check the Reddit. Why don't you vamp and talk about some news or something while I'm looking that up?
News, 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 news. That's our transition to news.
Bam, 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 bam.
No, wait, hang on. That's news.
Well, thank God I have that recorded now. I can use that.
Lovely.
Never.
So, in news, do I have to speak like a 40s announcer?
Yes, please.
In the world of Spelunky, we've seen new records broken.
Oh my god! Keep doing it. It's okay. Too late. We're going to be on the radio. You got practice.
Yeah, that's right. We can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But for now, in the world of Spelunky, a courageous young man has broken a new world record, getting $3 million, which is the score, because the score is in dollars, and that's the score.
Mike, I play Spelunky, and that almost didn't make sense to me. So he got three million gold?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
3 million gold. The dude who made the game didn't think that it was actually possible to get that high of a score.
Jeez, man.
But he did it.
You're doing it right.
There's totally a video of it as well.
Oh, neat. He probably...
We can maybe link to that.
What I assumed he did is he probably bombed the shit out of the City of Gold. Do you know that area?
No, not at all.
I think it happens right before Hell or something.
Okay.
Basically, literally every block that you can't get past. So usually everything is filled with like either like traps or bricks or dirt mostly. Mm-hmm. Everything that is a wall or a floor in the City of Gold, you can destroy and it turns into gold.
Mm.
So I assume that he probably did something like that.
Yeah, probably. He was in Hell when he passed 3 million, so
that's
probably
well,
what he did.
Yeah. Dude, I just beat that game, and like that story totally shits all over the triumph of me like beating
that
game.
I'm
now.
Sorry. I was like, maybe you should talk about your thing before I do this. But
by the way, update on Twitch Plays Pokemon. They've actually got all the badges. They've got the Marsh badge, and right now they are they're at Cinnabar Island. Their goal is to get the secret key. I literally don't know what that is.
No.
So they're doing pretty good, apparently.
Alright.
I think they actually one thing that I saw recently is that they used the Helix Fossil and actually like got an Ammonite.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. It's almost...
I think they just call the Ammonite Lord Helix now.
That's great.
And there was a lot of images online with like Ammonite's face plastered over Jesus's like coming out of the tomb and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But anyways, though, yeah, I beat Spelunky, whatever.
Yay, we're all happy for Zach. Everybody be happy for Zach.
Yeah. It only took me like 45 hours.
Hey, no, that's awesome, dude.
No, yeah, it felt pretty good, actually.
I'm sure it's Spelunky.
Yeah. But it's funny now because, like, the thing I did immediately after I beat that, it's like, oh man, now we got to beat it in all of the other ways that I can beat it.
Yeah, totally. This this guy who passed 3 million is actually the same guy who did a solo eggplant run.
Right, like Bananasaurus Rex or something?
Yeah, that's his name, yeah.
I did watch that video, and that shit was crazy. That was...
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing. There's so much to this game.
A lot of other people didn't know that that was a thing either.
Yeah. How did he know that was a thing?
I don't know
that's a thing.
There you go. This game is crazy. It's bananas. Bananasaurus Rex, bringing it around.
Okay, all right!
What else we got? In other beating a game in strange way goodness, there's another dude who beat the original Super Mario Brothers with only 500 points.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard about that, though. The lowest possible point run of that.
Yeah.
Which is... I love these people come up with these, like, crazy creative ways of just, like...
I know, like... I was watching, because, the entire run is up on YouTube, so I was watching parts of it, and, like, it requires more skill to beat it with less points than it does to, like, actually play it, like, amassing points.
Yeah, it's how insane. Fucking crazy is that?
Yeah. It's like you invent your own hard mode.
Yeah, which is great. There was actually, you know, I can't remember the name of the blog right now, but... Anthony Birch of Hayashwichaplan, actually, he started up this Tumblr with someone else where he would accept submissions. I think it's like different ways to play or something like that, or no one way to play is the Tumblr.
Okay.
But basically, he tried to keep posting up a bunch of different ways that people play different games. And I think one of them I saw was that, actually, funny, playing either Pokemon Red or Blue is what they would do is that whenever a Pokemon fainted, they would let them go.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff like that. I love that shit. I never do it because I've got a little
play
bit
of it the regular way.
Yes, I'm too bad at video games to get that invested in something like that.
Yeah.
No, that's cool though, dude.
Good. times. No wrong way to play. There it is.
No wrong way to play. Yeah, unfortunately, it hasn't been updating as much as I thought it should. But he's, you know, probably super busy being the fucking lead writer at Gearbox.
Yeah, probably.
Borderlands 3 and all.
Yeah.
Which they are not working on.
Confirmed.
Oh, what?
Not yet.
Yeah, the story was not yet.
I had no idea that, like, that's who he was, that, like, he was in, like, a guy in the industry.
Yeah, no, and
he, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, no. it's absolutely nuts, because he worked for Destructoid for a little bit. He left, and I think he was, like, working on Hash Whatcha Playin' for a while, or... I'm not sure if he went right from Destructoid to Gearbox or not, but literally all he was doing was, like, writing, like, blogs and reviews on Destructoid and making Hash Whatcha Playin', and then he landed a head writing job at Gearbox.
That's awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah, no, it's really crazy. And then the same story should happen with his sister, where she was doing all that, but then she like did a voice in Borderlands 2. She's going to be doing a voice on Adventure Time. She's going to be doing a voice in that one game, Scale. She's going to be on an episode of Bein' Puppy Cat as well.
Nice.
So like, yeah, both of them are just being awesome.
Wow.
You look like you're trying to remember something,
which is great because they're like super awesome, hilarious people.
No, yeah, they're great. They recently did a Hash Whatcha Playin' with Freddie Wong.
Yeah, I saw that. I just recently, because like you mentioned it to me like billions of times in different places, and I'm like, you know what?
Did I really
watch this a lot? I don't know. You've mentioned it a couple times, and I was like, I should probably finally watch it. I've watched it here and there, and then one night or one day, I just like watched a bunch of them, and I was like, why haven't I been watching this? This is awesome.
It was funny that. Those videos were like the single reason I found Destructoid, and I feel like I probably would have gravitated back towards video games at some point, but they were the main reason I got back into video games in like my early teens.
Oh.
So yeah, they have a pretty special place in my heart. I look up to both of those people.
Super cool.
So anyways, let's see. I was gonna talk about Two Rooms in a Boom. Maybe I'll save that for some other time.
I don't know what that is. So
okay. It's kind of a... You ever heard of, like, Werewolf or Mafia? Like, those, like, social games?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. I can explain it on another podcast. We got to do a couple questions stuff in a little bit. But before we do that...
Yeah.
Mike, what's going on with us? What are we going to be on?
There's an announcement to make. We are going to
Drugs.
Be on... We're going to be on the futuristic and relevant medium known as the radio.
The radio.
Zum Radio. That's actually German. How did I remember that? That's weird.
That is.
My university is every year. Is it every year or every semester? It might be every semester. We do.
I don't know. I don't go to your school.
Okay. Well, I was just asking the general universe, okay? Is that you? I don't think so.
General universe?
And major planet.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Continue.
I think it's every semester. My university does this thing called To Kill a DJ. And it's where everybody in the major or who is involved with the radio in some way has to sign up for some amount of time to do a marathon radio show. And you can do whatever you want during this show. You're raising money for Hope Children's Hospital. That's the whole point of this. So me and two other people, my friends Brooke and Crystal, are doing an 80-hour marathon, which is a long time, and it's also going to be the record at our school if we do it.
That's fantastic. That's a little bit under 4 straight days.
Yes, it is. So it's going to be from, I think we're going to start on at noon on Monday the 24th of March, which is exactly a month from today.
I think that's actually when my spring break is.
That's great.
That is perfect.
Because you are going to be
Looks
there
like you're
with
not getting
me.
Any sleep.
Yes. Sorry, what did you say? Never mind. It's weird being with Dave in this room because we both have headphones on and I can't entirely hear what he's saying, but I'll assume it was something funny, witty, and...
It's not important. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know.
He's just not starving.
Don't
even worry about it.
It's raining frogs.
But yeah, man, so, I mean, it was interesting when you sort of brought this idea up, because I'm like, dude, totally, like, that sounds awesome. What are we supposed to prepare?
Yeah.
And we don't know.
Don't matter.
We're given, as long as we're not, like, swearing a bunch and saying that the children's hospital sucks, we can do whatever we want.
And who's going to say, God, that's like the worst thing you could say. You know what I hate? Guys, you know what I hate? It's children's hospitals.
Like, you know what I hate? Kids. You know what I hate even more? People who take care of them.
Exactly. Oh, jeez. That's the worst thing. That would make you worse than Hitler.
Hey, crossing it off the list. It's all right. Now all right. I know.
Good.
But yeah, that's pretty crazy. So we don't know how long we're going to be on the radio quite yet.
Yeah, we don't know because we're not going to just all three of us stay up 80 hours because we will kill each other and never want to see each other again. And we kind of want to still be friends after this. We're going to split it up and tag team this thing. So like I'll take a chunk or we'll all start off together for a chunk and then, you know, somebody will take a chunk and then the other person, then me, then another person, and then we'll end it together. And it's going to be good. Crystal says she's making t-shirts. It's exciting.
Whoa, nice. Oh, yeah. I probably don't get one of those, though, do I?
Yeah, I don't know. I can ask.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see how much pull
it may be.
I have. I mean, has she even heard of First Person Podcast Simulator? Come on.
She may have. I'm not sure.
The fans will be outraged. She probably... Well, I don't know.
I mean, let me check Facebook right now.
You're checking? Okay. Well, anyways, so, I mean, the thing I'm most excited about is, firstly, I'm going to be practicing my DJ voice for a while.
You have an awesome voice. What are you talking about?
No, like, the really quick... WBBQ, The Vortex!
That was worse.
And then a lot of air horn noises.
Yeah, I'm
playing at least a couple of those things. I don't know when, but that's happening. Also, the other thing I'm most excited about is that we get to take calls on the air.
We do get to do that.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so cool.
I've got to think of something to call you guys with. Probably a cell phone.
Maybe closer to that, we will put out the number for the radio station on here.
Yeah, for sure.
Or the social medias.
Yeah. That'll be super. I'm really psyched about that, actually.
Yeah.
I've never been on the radio.
It's fun.
I'm sure. No, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's better than this piece of shit.
I wouldn't say that. Because we can say this piece of shit here.
I mean, that's true. That's absolutely true.
You don't have to censor yourself.
Absolutely.
Which get really good at that.
I think when being put in the situation, when I actually have like a microphone that is worth more than like my room put in front of me, I think I'll chill out. Or I'll get nervous and not want to swear on public radio.
Awesome. That would be bad for everybody.
That would be really bad. So yeah, that being said, if you're a listener of the show and you decide to call in, please don't be an asshole.
Yeah. We do screen our calls.
Don't be a butt.
We will drop you.
Yes. Did you guys say butt on the radio?
can we say butt on the radio?
No, I'll have to ask. Poop? I don't know.
Oh, man.
It might not be okay. You got to ask the FCC.
So yeah, I think that covers most of our news stuff, kind of.
Yeah, that's all I got. I mean, we're going to get into some more news stuff with the questions we be answering.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So we actually put out a more... Instead of just saying, hey, email us some questions, like at the end of the podcast when literally no one is listening to it.
Yeah.
We actually put out some things being like, hey, ask our podcast some questions, and we did that through like Twitter and through Facebook all of today. We actually got a couple. Super exciting. Some pretty good questions. So the first one here is from our good friend Gina Gamino, who's going to school in Carthage right now.
Hey, Gina.
Or no, wait, yeah, that's
Carthage.
Yeah, that's Carthage College. It's right over the border.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's where he'd be.
That is where he'd be.
And his social security number
is. So his question is. Do you think it was smart for Ken Levine to shut down Irrational Games, especially after they had all they had accomplished? Will his small hit games be just as good as his AAA games, if not better? So what do you think about this, man? We didn't really mention this, but within the past week, Ken Levine released an official statement basically saying he's taken like 15 or 18 dudes or something from Irrational Games.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his own small thing and shutting down the studio. Laid everyone off except for those select few. And
was there any reason why?
We're not incredibly sure. I mean, his whole reasoning is that he wants to focus on making more narrative-driven games,
mm-hmm.
getting back to, like, times where it was just him and a couple of other dudes making games, like, in his living room or something, which I totally understand.
Yeah. This is, I don't know, if we, have we seen studios do this before? Like, I don't think this is a route we've seen many people take in regards to
refocusing what they want to do. I mean, Notch kind of did something similar.
Well, Notch didn't lay everybody off, though.
Yeah.
He just said, I'm, like, which I understand. Like, I understand, like, working on a project for something, just being like, yeah, you guys take over. Like, that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people are wondering is, like, there's not a whole lot of transparency for this. We don't know how much, like, 2K is involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anything, people are wondering, like, why didn't he just appoint a successor and, like, let everyone keep their jobs?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying, because we've seen people do that before. Like, people have left to do their own thing. What was the guy's name? Was it the dude who started that game company, or... What's his face? Maybe he... No, it was the dude who started Stupid Fun Club or something?
I don't know that one either.
Stupid Fun Club. Will Wright.
Oh, really?
I think. Wasn't he the head of something and then he left?
I mean, he was probably the head of something. He's the father of the Sim games, I think, right?
So he would have to be. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's an interesting thing because, like, he knows who he wants to keep around and, like, he's still going to be, like, inside of 2K. So, is it 2K or Take-Two? Who's involved here?
It's 2K is okay. Like the...
That's like Bioshock.
I think it's the publisher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Irrational is the dev studio, and I'm pretty sure 2K is the publisher.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, Take-Two is the parent of 2K.
Oh, weird. That's stupid.
This industry is so weird. You know what? The whole company thing of society, it's got to change. You've got to break it down. Everybody's got to be exactly the same.
Right, dude. So I guess we didn't really get to answering the question. Do we think it was a smart idea for him to shut down the studio?
I mean, time will tell. We'll see what he is able to crank out. I think it makes more sense, maybe. I mean, you know, he knows what makes the most sense for him when it comes to creating games. So I guess this probably makes the most sense for him as opposed to just leaving and starting something out of his basement.
Yeah. It's hard for me to say whether or not it's smart from, like, some weird points of view. I think he's going to be able to make some great fucking games.
Yeah, we're going
to
get some good stuff out of it no matter what.
Because, like, the thing that we have to understand is I feel like a lot of... Like, he's made some good... I haven't played the Bioshock games. I really haven't. But I understand that they are some good stories.
Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, people say, like, the combat feels kind of tacked on at some point. And you have to know that that's totally the publisher going, well, we have to sell this, and it can't just be, like, a narrative game. Like,
right.
There are no, like, AAA narrative games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it will be good insofar as the games that he will be putting out. I think that they will be, like, good hits, because I think he's really capable. Like, the second part of the question is that if we think they'll do... as well as his AAA games. I think that there's going to be a very dedicated community that'll always know his name.
Yeah.
They might not ship as much as, you know, the Bioshock games.
Yeah, it depends on how they're marketed. And it seems like if he's doing this, and as opposed to just splitting off on his own, he might get better marketing than he would because he's still at 2K. So... And, you know, he'll still probably... It makes sense because staying at 2K or, like, staying at a different thing inside of 2K should make it easier for him to get funding, get marketing, and get his game on all the major platforms. So it might do just as well.
I think it will. And I think he's not going to have any creative restrictions.
Yeah. That's the other important thing.
Yeah, hopefully it will be apparent after he, well, releases whatever him and his small team are going to be releasing. But I think it's impossible to say that his, like, new games will be as good as Bioshock, simply in terms of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know, you don't have to... There are a lot of things that you don't have to pay for with what he's going to be doing, because he's just going to be doing digital games. Like, you don't have to...
Is he?
Yeah, I think he specifically said he just wants to work on, like, digital-based games now.
Okay.
Instead of doing the whole disc thing, which lowers the cost incredibly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, by the numbers as well, probably not. Still going to do really good, though, especially for him in a small team.
I'm sure. I'm sure he'll do well.
And this is kind of... He is a name who a lot of people know. Anyways, though, so the next question is kind of related from a buddy of mine that I had gone to college with. I still see, actually. Nathan Sibben. What's happening to the rights for the BioShock series, and do you think someone else will pick it up? As far as I know, I think that's... like, 2K just has those.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at a thing, an article here. Levine says that the BioShock series will continue at Take-Two, but in somebody else's hands. So he's handing off BioShock entirely. But it sounds like they're going to make more.
I'm sure they will.
There's a lot of stuff that they can still get out of that world, and there's a huge fan base, obviously, with how well Infinite did. Sort of want to extend another question, like, do we think that, like, what do we really think is going to happen to those games over time without, like, Ken Levine and, like, a lot of those, because, like, remember, like, all of Irrational is getting fired. Like, they're already laid off.
Mm-hmm.
All of the original people who are working on that game are no longer a part of, like, working on, well, I guess it's a little bit soon to say, but assumingly, there won't be anyone who originally worked on those games working on them in the future. As far as we know right now.
Well, I don't know about that. He did say, Ken Levine has said that he's, right now, like, with this whole thing as it's in process, their focus is finding good matches for the people that are being laid off. And he, this is a quote from him, "I suspect many of them will end up simply repositioning within Take-Two, but we're trying to ensure they get an abundance of choice." So some of them probably might actually work on future BioShock games, which would be cool.
Right, and like that would actually make more sense than what I said, because you got to have some like core group of people who worked on those original games.
Sure.
I mean, they're not going to be the same without them. That's just a common sense kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they absolutely could have gone the completely asshole publisher route and just said, "This is ours and we can do it just fine. It's a shooter, right?"
Yeah, you can pull an Activision and make a new one every year.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll do. I really don't.
The cynic in me says that that's what's going to happen, but if we have a lot of people that worked on the original ones working on this, then some voice of the originals might, you know, shine through.
Yeah. I only hope, again, it's not a series that I'm super crazy invested in, but I know it's a good one, and I only want, you know, good things for good games, so.
Yeah. I have only played BioShock Infinite, and I thought it was fantastic, so.
You should go back and play the first one, because it's super good.
I really should. I have both of them on Steam. I have to... I'm choosing between that and Mass Effect.
I've got the first two on Steam as well. Do BioShock. It's going to be shorter.
Okay, yeah, that's probably smarter.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, I'm not really in a position to be starting big games right now.
Okay, next one from this dick called David West.
Ew, what?
Who's that?
That guy.
So you said, "Hey, David, you want to read your own question?" Since you're here, you want to just ask it to us?
I guess. What was my question? Oh, yeah, Twitch is playing Pokemon now, and now they're playing the original Zelda. What other games do you think would be cool to play on Twitch, and how do you feel about Twitch playing video games?
That's a great question. I feel really good about Twitch playing video games. I think it's a super cool, fresh idea.
I think it's cool for certain games and an absolute waste of time for most games.
Probably.
Because I've seen a couple of these channels where like they try and play like Super Mario Brothers and like they don't get past like the first world because that's actually a game that requires because it requires coordination and timing and
platformers would never work.
Right.
For the Zelda, they had the guy like reprogrammed a lot of it and he made it so you can't go into the start menu because otherwise the whole game everyone on Twitch would be in the start menu forever.
Right.
That's good.
Because it takes forever to load up. And he made like infinite health and then. Money, so the people just don't like waste everything.
See, now that's an important detail. That's smart.
Mod the game so that it works for what it's working with.
Oh, I just realized you're basically fucking idiot-proofing games so that several thousand people don't like fuck up.
Yeah, that but is, I mean, yeah, it's still much. Cool to see a lot of people play a game.
That's so funny.
I can't think of a single game that I wouldn't want to see Twitch play.
I'll tell you what I want to see play is Katamari.
Oh man. I think that would be a lot harder to program for.
If you could like get a simpler control scheme down.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh my, that's such a good one. That's really fun.
I would love to see I was just thinking about this. Like a point and click adventure game would never work.
Oh god, no.
No, that it wouldn't.
They have to have simple controls. I would like to see them play like Final Fantasy or a JRPG. Which it's pretty Pokemon like, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, actually I think as like a lot of RPG stuff would work like that just cuz
Yeah.
Well, for the same reason,
just tapping A.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's turn based and just going between places.
I can't think of any that I'd like to. Jeez, man.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to see Twitch play any game, but it's like the variable is how long I would watch Twitch play it. Like I would love
Twitch plays Surgeon Simulator.
Yes. Oh god. I would love to very briefly watch Twitch play some first-person shooter.
Oh,
because
geez,
it would just
yeah.
be a huge disaster. It'd be something to laugh at for like a minute.
The original Golden.
I would want it to go away.
The original GoldenEye would probably be really fun.
Yeah.
Oh wow. See now that you can do like you don't even have to mod that. You can just do. There are already cheat codes
Twitch,
in there.
Twitch plays 4-player GoldenEye.
Oh my god.
Player. Oh my god. That's
each like
idea.
Server is a different Twitch channel.
Yeah, that's... I would like to see them play some multiplayer game. That'd be great.
Oh boy. Maybe like Bomberman or something? 4-player Bomberman?
I think they'd blow up real quick.
Yeah, they'd probably just die. And that's a good idea. If idiot-proofing games so that thousands of people can play them collectively online, that's... What if that is just the way that Twitch goes? Like, what if that it becomes main channels on Twitch in
that's
the future?
That's awesome. That is so crazy. We're totally going to see it in the short term. A lot of people are going to want to get into this and try it out.
Yeah,
cool
I think
with.
So too. Yeah, I mean, if it's entertaining, fun stuff, and it's not stupid shit like Super Mario Brothers, where there's no point in watching it really, then absolutely, sure. There could be a whole community dedicated to idiot-proofing games.
By the end of this episode, let's both of us have a game that we want to see Twitch play. Because we got to think of something. We didn't answer the question.
I said Surgeon Simulator. I'll try and think of anything. If I think of something else that's really good, I'll mention it by the end of the episode. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Okay. Oh, did you happen to get any questions on your end from anybody? I was curious.
No, I don't think I did. I'll check Twitter again, but I'm pretty sure I didn't get anything.
Okay.
Whatever,
well,
people.
This next one's a pretty good like general question. This is from a dude I follow on Twitter, a buddy of mine, Bruce. His Twitter handler. Twitter hander. his Twitter hander is it's @on_a_Baldridge, and his question is what games are you most looking forward to in the coming months? AAA, indie, either or, pretty much any games that we're looking forward to. It's kind of a big question, right? Because you kind of like you know that there are games, which I know I've got a couple. David actually mentioned...
you got Shovel Knight coming out.
Shovel Knight's coming out next month.
31st, I want to say.
It's coming out next month?
They have 31st.
Next month, man.
Yeah, end of May. End of next month.
Wait, no.
End of March. Whatever next month.
Okay, all right, cool. It's like, May, that's so much farther away, no! so that I'm honestly considering buying that day one.
I will totally be into that as well.
Yeah, man. Let's see... David, can you think of any?
What else we got?
I know I'm looking forward to... I want to see how Hotline Miami 2 turns out.
Oh, yeah.
First Hotline Miami was... I think the first Hotline Miami was really great, and now that I look at it, after playing it, loving it, and beating it, there are some things that you can do to that game. You can polish that up a little bit more. I think it's got like such like a funny, like cool, surreal, colorful, interesting world, too, that you can...
Yeah.
You can tell another solid story through that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
There's supposed to be a build of A Hat in Time coming out sometime soon for people who backed the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. Have you? Do you know what that game is, Mike?
No.
Basically, how do you explain that?
It's like, did you ever play Banjo-Kazooie?
No.
Okay. How about okay. Donkey Kong 64?
Yes.
All right, it's kind of like that, mixed with the art style of Wind Waker and the scenery of Super Mario Sunshine.
Oh.
Yeah. And the whole main mechanic, I think, is that it's a little bit like PB Winterbottom-ish, where
wait
you...
Wait a minute, maybe I have seen this. What's it called, A Hat in Time?
A Hat, yeah.
I think maybe I have.
Well, anyway,
also
it look,
maybe not, whatever.
It looks really pretty. It might be good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's I really know, pretty. I thought I had one other... Oh, Owlboy.
Owlboy.
I don't know if that's coming out in the next few months. That game was supposed to, I feel like, come out a while ago. It's been worked on for a while, but... yeah. Oh, my God, Owlboy. It just, it's this gorgeous-looking, like, Super Nintendo... retro-looking platformer.
It's so pretty.
Oh, it makes me want to fucking cry watching the trailer every time because it's so gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot else. I mean, it's tough because I don't look... it's hard looking forward to games coming out because I almost never buy new games, ever.
Hmm.
Binding Isaac Rebirth.
Is that coming
out? Oh, yeah.
Soon?
Oh,
That's coming out this year, I'm pretty sure.
What's it called? Mugenix.
Yep. Yeah, man. Forgot about that. I don't know how I forgot about all of, like, Edmund B. Milligan's projects right now.
I know. I can never remember things when I want to, and then.
Yeah, Mugenix, though.
They just come to you randomly.
Crazy Cat Pokemon Tamagotchi Fighting Breeding Simulator.
It can't not be good.
Basically.
It's going to be awesome.
The only thing they talk about is how, like, the possibility for, like, different cats has gone through the fucking... like, you can't communicate the number of possible combinations that...
Yeah, yeah.
...of cats that there are in this game right now, just because of all the different features and personalities and stuff.
I'm actually really excited for that. They've been talking about it for so long and, like, so many different details.
Mm-hmm.
It just got me excited in different ways.
Yeah.
If we're talking about Kickstarter, a bunch of games that I've kickstarted, I can't wait for those to finally drop.
But are those coming out in the next couple months, though? I mean, half the, never
not certain.
Half the ones that I mentioned are coming out in the next couple months, so I mean...
Delver's Drop.
Ah.
Which is a thing that I played an alpha build of and threw up a video of that on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's supposed to be coming out this year. Pretty sure. Cryamore, I have no idea when that's coming out.
I forgot about that.
Hyperlight Drifter, no idea when that's coming out, but I'm so excited for that because it's beautiful. Mighty Number 9, I didn't back, but I'm interested to see that.
I think it's supposed to come out sometime in 2015, though.
Mm.
Okay.
So
yeah, well, Mighty Number 9's, I mean, that was a pretty recent thing, too. That was just the last couple months that was announced.
Yeah.
It's
just Mega Man. It's basically Mega Man.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm interested to see what happens when it comes out. Also, no idea when it's coming out. Possibly later this year. It might have changed since I read anything about it, but Star Citizen.
I was just thinking about that game the other day.
You know, that thing that's made like $39 million?
Yeah, yeah.
Banking?
God, that ridiculous. I'm still super worried about that project.
Yeah. He's going to take the money and run.
I'm worried about that much money getting thrown towards a project that already sounds super fucking big.
Yeah.
It's just, that's going to take so much time, man.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, no, it's cool, though. You should be. It looks really good.
Depending on what the model of paying for it is, I'll probably pick it up when it comes out.
Oh, it's going to be subscription-based?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, all right.
But, I don't know, if it's like this continuous world, then... maybe it might be, I don't know. And there's, like, multiplayer interaction. We probably talked about some single-player stuff for it, so I have no idea.
I don't know.
It could be either way.
Any other games you can think of, Dave?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, let's move on then. Cool. Next question from the same guy. Actually, very topical information, very sad information. I feel like a dick because I can't remember his name. Dude who created Ghostbusters has unfortunately passed. And he was actually a Chicago native, I believe.
Yeah.
He was like, he like stood side by side with like Jim Belushi at Second City.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he was like a good friend of his.
You mean John Belushi?
Yes. Did I say Jim Belushi?
You did.
What the fuck ever?
You said the bad Belushi.
I don't even like the Belushis anyways. Sorry, I don't like their humor. Whatever, man. Sorry.
Harold Ramis is his name.
Harold Ramis has passed, and he directed not just Ghostbusters, but like a few of the American Lampoon movies, Groundhog's Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article I read on him because I had literally no idea who he was.
Yeah.
Oops.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Yeah.
Which I still have to see.
Yeah, those are like these strange like American classics, I guess, of these like strange like comedy films that sort of kind of tell decent stories. Anyways, so the question related to that is what our favorite Ghostbusters moments are, our individual favorite Ghostbuster moment.
Mm.
Which is really it's not exactly a moment, but it's sort of a thing that like passed over into like a friend group of mine. But for a while, like the phrase there is no whatever, only Zool was a joke that carried on for years, and it didn't matter what the thing was, as long as it related to the situation, you could tack that into a conversation. It's really, really funny. I think that's technically the second Ghostbusters, though.
Oh, is it? Okay. I've only seen the first one. It was a long time ago.
Well, that's the only one that's worth seeing.
Mm.
But, man, it's a shame that it's such a good movie, but I can't remember any of my favorite parts.
What's the matter with you?
Actually, one small thing, when they first, like, go into that, it's like a hotel or whatever. So, mm-hmm. like, it's their first job.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd, I think, first sees Slimer. Is that his name?
Yes.
And, yeah, and the cigarette like just barely like hangs out of his mouth and like holds on to it. That little detail is something that's always been so fucking funny to me that they've been able to like just do that.
That's great.
Yeah, man. What about you? When's the last time you've seen Ghostbusters?
It was years ago. I don't even remember when it was. But so I mean, I'm missing details like that, and I should probably rewatch it.
We from should.
Not being a kid. So maybe probably we'll do some stuff.
Maybe we'll do a commentary on that instead of Space Jam.
No, we should still do Space Jam.
No, I was totally kidding. Like, we're still doing Space Jam. What am I talking about?
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I love that.
Yeah, dude. Such a fucking original idea for a movie villain, too.
That's great.
Yeah,
I wonder if they got paid for that.
Ha!
I wonder if they need to, like, buy the rights to, like, show the...
Yeah.
Or I wonder if they consider it as free advertising. You know what? I don't know, man.
Who knows?
Look that up.
I don't know how Hollywood or movies work. That's Mike's...
that's Egan's thing.
Yeah, that's your thing, dude.
Mike,
what am I supposed to know about what?
Hey, yeah.
You're supposed to know everything about all the movies.
You're famous and you work in Hollywood. How does this shit work?
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna be in a movie.
I was in a movie once.
That's right. Yeah. Who did that?
I don't know. Some guy.
Some guy.
I don't know. The editing was garbage, though.
But
worst twist ever.
The dude wasn't made of duct tape?
What a twist.
So disappointing.
And this is actually a question that I forgot. It's not really much of a question. It's more of a request. It's from another friend who is a big fan of the blog and the podcast and stuff. It's another dude I go to school with called, his name is Mike Hansen. And he just wanted to know if at some point in the future after he graduates, he can maybe do a sort of, like either a Let's Play or sit down on the podcast in the future. And I will say...
No.
I will say yes, absolutely, of course. Probably not more than once, though. Gotta have, you know, the main crew running this shit.
That's right.
But,
this is our special thing.
Yeah, man. I can totally make that happen, Mike. Not a problem.
Other Mike?
What? Yes, other Mike.
There can only be one.
That is also another reason why we can't have him as a permanent.
Right.
Yes, part.
Mike on Mike.
I got mics coming out of my ears, man.
Mike.
Whoa.
Anyways, we've been talking long enough, almost another...
It's a good long
time. Earth-shattering 75 minutes, roughly. Mike. Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Sir.
Yes.
Sir Mike.
You work in this magical new medium where you're able to record talking pictures and throw them up on the World Wide Web.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
You can direct your Netscape browsers towards http://youtube.com.
Wait, hold on. There's two forward slashes? There's three forward slashes.
It's interesting. Let me tell you why. No, I'm not going to.
Please do. Tell us why.
The hypertext transfer protocol is very complex. Your feeble monkey brains wouldn't understand it. YouTube.com/vlogginegan is where I be. Fun fact about me making videos on vlogginegan. When I said I was going to be in a movie a minute ago, that wasn't a joke.
Oh, tell me about it.
So I got contacted last week by these people who are making a documentary about Rhythm and Hues, which is the VFX house that did all the effects for Life of Pi.
Oh!
These were the people that went bankrupt, and Life of Pi won an Oscar for its effects, and it brought out this whole thing, and there were protests about how VFX artists are treated. And I made a video about that, and they really liked what I said, so they asked if they could use it in their documentary.
Whoa,
that's
man.
Cool.
That is wicked.
I had to sign a super official-looking release form and everything. It was crazy.
When you ran your fingers over the page, could you feel where the ink was printed?
I mean, I printed it at home.
Oh. So no, then.
So no.
All right, well, I stopped caring, then.
Oh, okay.
That's really cool, though. I remember you making a thing about that video, and that was a really interesting subject at the time.
Yeah. That was a year ago. It was last February.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. It's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, shit! Yeah. I was going to be like, hey, like when it comes out, like when they're finally done like clipping it together and stuff, like you should totally plug it.
Therefore, here it is.
Do you get a free copy?
No, I'm going to be under the special thanks in the credits.
That's almost as good.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
No, that's really wicked, though, dude. So by the time that this comes out, it'll already be... So what's the name of the thing?
Yeah. It's called Life After Pi.
Ah.
Pi as in P-I, not the thing you eat. Guys. Because there is no life after pi. We all know that.
Once you eat that pi, you've basically signed your... That's it. You're gone.
I am the greatest at plugging things for people who do me favors. So that's a thing.
Yeah, wicked.
That's the thing. Go check that out. Should be good. I'm hoping they don't use the parts where I get like really angry and pissed off and act like kind of an idiot.
I hope they do.
I really hope for that, actually.
Great. Let me see. You can also follow me on Twitter at EganWorks.
Nice. You can follow me on Twitter at ZegBrune. I've been tweeting a lot lately.
Yeah.
It's been feeling good. I've been getting...
Your Twitter game is strong, man. You got
it is. Going to be hitting 13,000 tweets soon.
Really?
Yeah. I'm,
nice.
Well, I'm like a couple, just a handful of thousand away from hitting that unfortunate milestone.
Wow.
But yeah, I've been...
What?
Yeah, dude.
Like 5,800.
My Twitter game is strong, like you said.
There you go.
But yeah, reconnecting with a couple people. It's been a good time. Been fun stuff. I don't really do anything else. When I start throwing up games on the internet, I will let you know where you can find those, because it's not going to be long before I start doing that. I guarantee you. David?
Yeah, I don't think you can follow me anywhere on the internet.
David's an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
You can follow me in real life.
Wrapped in duct tape.
You can. If you want to move to Lockport, Illinois, firstly, don't.
Don't do that.
That's good advice.
Another small thing, not really related to the outro, though, and we'll probably mention this next week because no one listens to the end of the podcast, but the this whole thing, this first-person blog simulator thing, is basically 1 year old now.
Yeah, damn. That's right. Was it, when did we start it? In February?
It was definitely in February. And in fact, I could check the date that we first podcasted. Hold on, let me check real quick.
Vamp for me, vamp. Like, what are some of your fondest... That is not vamp! What are your fondest memories of this this beautiful project that we started?
My fondest memories were I had just built my PC and everything was all set up, and I don't know, I just like those first days of like settling on a design and a typeface and what we were going to call the thing. It took us quite a while to figure out what it was going to be called.
But yeah, we had quite a brainstorming session about that.
Yeah, it was good. I'm pretty happy with what we settled on though.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through. I know we've had the WordPress set up for over a year. I'm scrolling through the all of our individual posts right now. I'm going to see when our first one went up.
Tomorrow. So on Tuesday, February 25th is our first post.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good feelings all around.
Our first podcast was the 27th, or it went up on the 27th.
Oh, God, I don't even want to listen to that piece of shit. I'm sorry, it's so bad.
I know.
I feel like we've gotten we've only gotten marginally better. We've gone from, like, absolute garbage doing this to pretty okay at doing this. Like, we've gotten a lot better. I'm not saying that we haven't. But, like, you know, we're not Chris Hardwick or anything.
Yeah, that's true. This is true.
Anyways, thank you, dear listener, for listening. Thank you for all the people who have... sorry, did you want to say anything else before I close it out?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for all the people who asked us questions. Please do that more in the future. That was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. You know all the places you can follow this this crazy thing on. We're on Tumblr. We're on Twitter. We have a Facebook page. And we've got an email, fbsim@gmail.com. Email me your eye color. And we will be back at you with another podcast next week. Thank you, David, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for talking so much.
Hope you didn't starve.
I didn't starve.
He has not starved yet. He's on...
I'm about to starve, but I'm not going to starve. Because it's raining frogs.
And Mike, thank you for a beautiful year. I'm sorry I didn't get you an anniversary gift, baby. I'm sorry. But you know how much I care about you in my heart?
Totally. I was going to make a joke, but it's just been really nice. It has.
Yeah, no, this has been...
We didn't really know each other before this, and this is like, we became good friends over this.
Best friends.
Yeah, that's actually, like, oddly true. Like, this is the, like, the way in which we have become, like, really good friends. Like,
yeah.
Which is super bizarre. It's like, it's almost like a work relationship or something.
I know. Well, this is how, super awkward, socially anxious, creative internet people become friends.
Yeah, basically.
We create a project together.
It's like, hey, you want to work on this? Yeah, I totally work on this thing. I don't remember your name, and don't look at me that hard, but I totally want to do a thing.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, this has gone on long enough. Thank you, dear listener, for putting up with us for this long. Let's hope for another year, like pushing towards that 100-episode podcast thing.
Oh, man. At this rate, it'll take us 3 more years.
Yes, it will, and I look forward to them.
Yes.
Thank you, and good night, and goodbye.
We love you. Goodbye.